It is time for us to move on to the picture of the week. And this week we have our very own Merrick Young, who was selected for the All-State High School Band. Yes, a well-deserved round of applause. Making All-State is not easy. It is the best of the best in Michigan. So we are incredibly proud of Merrick for representing Bay City Western at the All-State High School Band in Grand Rapids. He plays the drums, right? Is it snare drums? He plays percussion. We'll just leave it at that. He likes to hit things. Speaking of hitting things, so Heather and I have ventured in and are navigating kind of a new thing as parents, and that is dating. And if you've not met Faith, which is Elijah's girlfriend, she is here this morning, and she is an absolute delight. And a few weeks ago, you meet them, and you kind of, as parents, you start sizing them up, right? And you're trying to learn about them, figure them out. Are you gonna like them, not like them? Do I need to run this one off? That kind of thing. Well, I have no plans to run Faith off. She came to our house a few weekends ago on a Friday, had dinner with us, played games. We taught her our family's favorite game, which is marbles, kind of like trouble or sorry. And she won the first game she ever played. She beat me. And by the way, I want a rematch. All right. But so I'm sizing her, asking her questions. She's as beautiful inside as she is on the outside. She is just a lovely person. She's got a great sense of humor. She's sweet. She's kind. She's all the things you're looking for. But there was a moment on that Friday night where I knew I had fallen in love with this girl. And here's what I saw. Watch the girl who makes the tackle. That is faith. So that is an unsanctioned football game between the Midland High girls and the Dow girls. They play every year. And Faith played in that game and made that tackle. As soon as I saw that, I looked at her and said, besides Heather, you are now my favorite girl in the world. So, another note, don't mess with Elijah because he will stick Faith on you and you are in trouble. All right, on to more serious business. How many of you have your card with you this morning? All right. And there's no crime if you don't, because you could have this on your window in your car. You do not have to carry it on your person. The idea behind it is that it reminds us of the GOAT. And GOAT stands for what? Greatest of all time. So may the GOAT be with you. All right. And this is the greatest of all time when it comes to commandments. All right. And the idea is to keep this with us somewhere where we see it every day. Deuteronomy 6, God makes it clear that this is something He wants us to be thinking about every single day, loving God and loving others. All right? So I encourage you to keep that with you or at least look at it once a day. We're going to continue talking about Mark chapter 12 today. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. But this is kind of an introduction or so into our next sermon series, which will be on the Beatitudes. So next week, there'll be an introductory sermon to the Beatitudes, kind of setting some context and groundwork. And then we will jump into a study of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, which, by the way, reminds me that today we start, if you're joining us on our journey to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, today we start with Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. If you're following along and reading the Gospels with us, there are reading schedules in the foyer. It's also posted on Facebook and the app, which I have not done for today's reading, but will as soon as services are over. So, love. Love is be the law of the land. So let me ask you if this looks familiar to you. Anybody played this game before? Risk, right? So risk, the goal of the game is what? Yes, the game of global domination. All right, that's the whole idea behind it. You want to take over the world. Anybody remember the cartoon Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs? The goal every night for those two little lab mice was to take over the world. All right, so they like to play Risk. You do this by attacking, conquering territories, and eliminating your opponents. Along the way, you may make some alliances, but only because they're useful for a while. They are a means to an end, because the game's over, there's only one winner. One person gets it all, everyone else loses. Now, think about this, all right? This is how the world works, is it not? Nations, businesses, even individuals fight for dominance, compete for resources, and prioritize self-interest. The world says, win at all costs. And if someone has to lose, so be it. I'm willing to step on anyone, eliminate anybody I have to in order to win at the game of life, which is another board game. But Jesus, at Risk, is all about taking over. Only one winner. So, Jesus, he enters the world and flips the board upside down. He says, that's not how it works in my kingdom. Jesus offers a radical alternative to the rules of Risk. In his kingdom, the law of the land is not domination. The law of the land is love. Love for God, love for neighbor, and yes, even love for our enemies. Instead of domination, the goal is service. Instead of conquest, the goal is reconciliation. Instead of taking for yourself, the goal is giving of yourself. Well, what exactly does that mean? David Fitch, professor at Northern Seminary, said this, that Jesus doesn't offer a third way that's a compromise between the world systems. He offers a way beyond what the world can imagine. In essence, what he is saying is that the church has been tempted to look for a third way, to engage cultural situations by forging a position that takes a little bit of the good from both sides. So let's just say we have a left side and a right side, and we move in and try to, you know, come up with a compromise. The resulting social solution stays within the existing framework of human possibilities. The right has a few good ideas. The left has a few good ideas on whatever situation we're talking about. Let's come together and compromise. And there's a third way. I reject, because I think Jesus rejects that approach to navigating the world. He doesn't say, let's compromise. Jesus comes in and disrupts the existing frame, the existing paradigm. He presents new possibilities that have not been previously imagined. Jesus does not offer a third way. He offers a way beyond the previous ways. And to get there, we must make new space, submit to his rule, listen, discern the spirit, unwind antagonisms, receive forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. And this space is the church. We call it his kingdom. So to kind of just illustrate that, let's say that there are two groups of kids on a playground, and they're trying to decide what game they're going to play. And they begin to argue over who has the best way to play the game. One group says, our way is the best. The other group says, no, our way is better. So sometimes people try to solve the argument by saying, well, let's take a little from both groups and mix them together, and there everybody will be happy. Again, Jesus doesn't do that. Instead of choosing one way or the other or mixing them, Jesus says, I have a completely new way to play, a way that no one has ever thought of before. What Jesus and Fitch are telling us is that Jesus' kingdom doesn't try to exist to tweak the existing world systems. He introduces an entirely new one. The kingdom of God is not a balance of power or a negotiation between two sides. It is a completely different reality where love rules, reconciliation wins, and self-sacrifice replaces self-interest. The world plays by risk. You must conquer to win. Jesus flips the board over and says, winning looks like serving. Power is found in humility. True life is found in sacrifice. So the real question is, are we willing to live by the law of love in his kingdom, even when it means stepping beyond what the world offers? You see, the kingdom of God is a radical new reality. And I want to say it again. I want to really pound this into our minds because it's important to understand this when we go into the Sermon on the Mount. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to take all world systems and flip them on their heads. There is not a nation on earth that says, love your enemies. But as citizens of the kingdom of God, submitting to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, we love our enemies. So Jesus doesn't tweak. All right, Jesus disrupts. The kingdom of God isn't a modification of the status quo. It's a whole new way of being. And at the center of this kingdom is the law of love. Again, Mark chapter 12. When the scribes asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He didn't hesitate. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That wasn't just a summary of the law. It was a declaration of what life in the kingdom of God looks like. That's why James calls it the royal law. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Notice that kingdom language that James adopts, remembering that Jesus, his brother, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's recognizing the kingship of Christ and saying, listen, love is not an accessory to the kingdom. It is the governing law of the kingdom. Dorothy Day understood this. Dorothy Day said, and I said this last week, but I think it bears repeating, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. Dorothy Day is the one there on your right, my left, right? Did I get that right? Yep. All right. She went around helping the least of these. She lived this out by creating homes for the homeless. You can see one there, Holy Family Hospitality House, sharing meals with the hungry and standing alongside the oppressed. She didn't talk about love. She made it visible. And that's what the kingdom of God looks like. It's love in action. See, the love of God is not just a commandment that we memorize or one that we carry around on our postcard, in our pockets, or on our mirrors. It's a lived reality. The kingdom is not just a hope for the future. It's about embodying the love right here and now. When we come and are born again, and become citizens of the kingdom, we stand at a crossroads and we've got to make a decision. Love or self-interest? And we have to choose one way or the other. The world pushes back on this. The world says, worry about yourself. Worry about your interest. Jesus says, no, think of the interest of others above your own. You see, the church, the kingdom of God, is a radical new reality. And that means that the church stands as an embassy of the kingdom. So, it's answered the question, what is an embassy? Anybody want to take a stab at it? What is an embassy? No takers. Good, I have the answer. An embassy represents its home nation in a foreign land. All right? An embassy represents its home nation in a foreign land. If the kingdom of God is a new reality, then the church is its embassy. And an embassy of representing the home nation of the foreign land means it operates by the laws of that homeland, not the laws of the host country. And it gives the people in that land a glimpse of what life looks like back home. So if you visit an embassy, you get an idea. Here's the culture. Here are the laws that we live by in our homeland. We're here to represent that nation in this foreign land. The church is called to be God's embassy in a world of suffering. An embassy is a place of refuge, a safe haven for those seeking help in a foreign land, in a world where people are fleeing not just war and poverty, but cycles of violence, incarceration, and hopelessness. The church should be the first to say, come, you are safe here. The Bible is filled with God's commands to care for the stranger, the outcast, the oppressed. Hebrews, all right, chapter 13. We're going to skip through these because I missed them. Where did my passages go? I made some last-minute edits, so I'm a little lost. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality angels without knowing it. Isaiah chapter 10, 1 and 2 reminds nations, woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So we're going to go back and pick up some of those slides. The church is supposed to be an embassy. Light to the world. Because the world is a harsh, broken place, ruled by the reign of sin and death, to borrow Paul's words from the book of Romans. But the church, it's an embassy that is a place of hope, a place of safety, a place where people can find what they need. It's a place that reflects God's character. So when we care for the marginalized, the incarcerated, and those trying to escape cycles of violence, we are not just helping people. We are honoring God himself. This is the mission. Wait a minute. Which way am I going? This is the mission of Homeboy Industries. Anybody heard of Homeboy Industries? Homeboy Industries was founded in 1988 by Father Gregory Boyle, who was standing there in the middle, and he is surrounded by former gang members. So, Homeboy Industries is in Los Angeles, California. Homeboy Industries serves as an embassy of hope for former gang members and the previously incarcerated. It offers job training, therapy, tattoo removal, legal services, and most importantly, community. And if you want to read more about this, Greg Boyle wrote a book called Tattoos on the Heart, which I suggest you read. It should be everyone read. And then someone else wrote a book about what he's doing called G-Dog and the Homeboys. G-Dog is Gregory Boyle. All right. But out of the individuals that Gregory has encountered, one is Luis Rodriguez, a young man deeply involved in gang life. He was intelligent, quick-witted, but his life was marked by struggle and violence. After years in the streets, the birth of his daughter, Tiffany, made him realize that he needed to change. And he found his way to Homeboy Industries, where he was given a job at the Homeboy Bakery that employs only former gang members and former incarcerated. Louise worked hard and eventually became a foreman at the bakery. He was known for his sense of humor. It was legendary. One day he was giving a tour to Homeboy Bakery of a group of visiting farmers, and he playfully referred to the bakery as the gang members' natural habitats. And for homies, and warned the farmers not to feed them, all right? But he had turned his life around, choosing love and community over violence. One day, after finishing his shift, Luis picked up his four-year-old Tiffany and brought her to her new home, a modest apartment. She ran inside, spread her arms wide, and exclaimed, "This is great!" Of course, after living on the streets, even the modest of apartments would feel like a mansion. The moment meant everything to Louise. It was proof that he had built a life of stability, safety, and love for his daughter. But unfortunately, the streets and the life that he had left behind had not forgotten him. While playing football outside one evening, Louise was shot and killed by a gang member. A devastating reminder that even those trying to change their lives are not always given the time to escape their past. Father Boyle and the entire Homeboy Industries family mourned his loss, knowing that his life was proof of what transformation looks like, and that his death was proof of how much work is still left to be done in the community. And this is where the church steps in. This is where we get to be that embassy, the kingdom of God. The church is not just a building, it's called to be a sanctuary for the lost and the broken, a place where people like Louise can find refuge before it's too late. The church should not be following the world and deciding who is worth saving and who is not. Instead, it should be leading the way in radical hospitality, in opening doors, in walking with people through the hardest chapters of their lives. And that's one thing I love about Wheeler Road, is that we are doing that in so many ways. But the world will persecute us for doing it. They will tell us that we're actually going down the wrong path, and that things like mercy and empathy are somehow toxic, when in fact they embody the very nature of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Homeboy Industries is an incredible example of what happens when the church acts as an embassy of God's kingdom, but it should not be the exception. It should be the standard of how the church operates in the world. I just want you to use your imaginations for a moment. Imagine, instead of fear, Christians saw every gang member, every formerly incarcerated person, every person society has thrown away as someone that Jesus loves and welcomes. Now, that doesn't mean now that we're not wise, you know, as serpents, that we don't just, somebody gets out of jail and they're a gang member, "Hey, why don't you come stay at my house?" That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying we don't have healthy, important boundaries. But it does mean that we don't just consider anybody to be a lost cause. That the church opens up their doors wide, offering not just aid, but hospitality, love, and community. That's what it means to be an embassy of God's kingdom. Louise's story should not just break our hearts, it should wake us up. The world is filled with people like him who are desperate for a second chance, for a place to belong, for someone to believe in them. And the church is meant to be that place where they find it. The question for us today, are we living as an embassy of God? There we go. Are we representing the kingdom of God and its king? Are we operating under God's royal love, law of love? Are we giving the world a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven? To show them this is what God has in store for them. You see, the kingdom, it's a place where the law of love exists in a world of hate. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, that whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Again, the law of love is not an option. It's the defining reality of the kingdom. Now you say, "Well, I don't know any gang members." That's okay. I don't know anybody that's, you know, just recently been released from incarceration. I wouldn't know how to handle that anyway. That's okay. But I do believe that you know somebody of which you have extremely opposite views with. Their view of the world is the diametrically opposed of yours. Don McLaughlin, in his book, Love First, tells a story about sitting down with a man whose worldview was completely opposite of his. Every instinct is to what? Argue, debate. But instead, he chose to listen. He chose to love first. And in that moment, something remarkable happened. Walls came down and a bridge was built. That's what happens when we live by the law of love. It creates space for healing and reconciliation. So what is Jesus asking us to do? Reject the rules of risk. Reject the logic of domination. It means choosing forgiveness over revenge, humility over pride, sacrifice over self-interest. It's not just a way of thinking, it's a way of living that disrupts the world systems and reveals the law of God. So, church, are we being an embassy of hope? Do we realize that the kingdom of God is not just some future reality that comes when Jesus returns? No, it is here now. That love is, again, not optional. It's the governing law of the land. And that we are called to embody it daily. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the foundation of everything. It's what makes the kingdom of God visible. So let me ask you, are you living by the law of love or the law of self? Are you showing the world what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God? Or are you still playing by the rules of risk, fighting for power and looking out for yourself? Because in the kingdom of God, the only rule that matters is love. And when we live by that rule, the world will see the kingdom and the world will never be the same. It changes. It brings about justice. Justice is God's work in the world to take what is wrong and make it right. That's what he's passionate about. And according to Micah chapter 4, I believe verse 6, it's what we're to be all about. Living lives of justice and walking humbly with our God. Let's bow and pray. Father, you have called us out of the world's ways into your kingdom of love. Help us to embody the royal law, to love you fully and to love our neighbors with the same kind of passion. Make us an embassy of your kingdom that the world may see the love of Christ in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You would. Stand. Go now, citizens of the kingdom of God. Live under the law of love. Love God, love your neighbor, and show the world a way beyond what has ever been imagined. Amen. Let us sing.